All right, what is going on, my friends? Tony Stuffin here, back with another episode of the School of Success podcast. And today I'm joined by a special guest, my friend Jimmy Varner. And Jimmy is a personal trainer, but he has an amazing, amazing background in media. He was on a very popular MTV show. Correct me if I'm wrong. Was it I Used to Be Fat? Was that the title?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah. So I Used to Be Fat. And how I met Jimmy is very interesting. So I watched that MTV show. I must have been like 17 or maybe 18 years old. I know it's before I started personal training. And I was so inspired by it. The premise of the show was, and correct me if I'm like butchering anything here, but a trainer teams up with a young adult. So I believe it's like a teenager, a high schooler, who was struggling with their weight. And it just shows the inspirational journey of, it was about weight loss, but it really was, from what I ascertained, it was like mentorship, right? It was a lot of life lessons and kind of using fitness as a way to prepare someone for life. So I remember watching it, and you're from Michigan. So I believe the student was from Flint, is that correct?
Yeah, it was a girl from Flint. That was the first season, and then the second season, I had another girl from Flint, or the Genesee County area, and we were up there filming. So primarily running a personal training business out of Novi. The only time I had to go up for tapings was, for tapings, and then the other days. When I had the girls from the show or their families and whatnot, the casts on the show, we would do our non-filmed workouts in Novi. And all I basically did was try to incentivize these kids who didn't have any money by taking care of gas and maybe buying them a sugar-free Slurpee or something. Mm.
Dude, so that's awesome, man. That's awesome. So yeah, I remember watching all that and then, you know, going throughout the years doing my own thing. And then I was working out at a gym, at a powerhouse gym in Michigan. And I saw you there, and I'm horrible with names, but I'm great with faces. I never forget a face. I was like, how do I know this guy before? And then I was like, holy shit, he was on that MTV. You were the trainer there. So and we met, and you're a great guy, man. So super excited to have you here today, brother. Thank you for taking the time out, man.
Thanks, man. Well, the talk on the streets is the School of Success podcast is the next big thing. So honored to be a part of this. And, Tony, you're the man, and you got a lot of energy. You're a good guy. You've got the credentials behind you. And I really appreciate the opportunity to be on your podcast today, bud.
I appreciate it, sir. So why don't we talk a little bit about, obviously, the MTV show? And like, I mean, I there must have been intense competition to be a trainer on that show. I know, dude, if I was training at the time, I would have surely applied for it. So how did you get started with all that, man?
It's funny. It's a very interesting story. And are you familiar with Gary Vaynerchuk?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, Gary, he just gives it really raw. And I guess this is the Jimmy Varner version of the raw. But it was interesting when I started in personal training. I had left a career, and I don't know if we've ever discussed this, but I was a professional wrestler.
Yeah. Yes. I see that on your Instagram.
Yeah. So I started as a professional wrestler back in like 94, 95. And I had a good run at 6 years and 2 years at the WWF, now WWE level. And I walked away because it was getting a little bit brutal on my body. I just wasn't designed to like take that kind of brute force and trauma to the body. So I walked away from it because my passion had always been getting the body ready for competition. You know, I had studied, you know, the muscle and fitness magazines and everything coming up. And then finally decided to go to school part-time as I continued to wrestle for, you know, that big company. And I finally just took the plunge and said, you know what, I'm going to opt out of my next contract renewal, and I'm going to jump into personal training. I just knew that was some of my giftings, my strength, and where I wanted to go. So I got into that, and a few years go by, and I'm sure you've seen it too, because I know you've done personal training as well, where you see the older trainers, and they're a little weather-beaten. They're working really early, really late, and, you know, they're still trying to, like, you know, pay for their used car, and they're just like not getting ahead. And I'm like, okay, that's my future if I don't figure something else out. Like, if I don't look at guys that are successful, men or women, in this industry, this is going to be my future as well. So I've always been lucky to kind of be a visionary and kind of try to look ahead and then plan from the end. you know, look back from the end to the beginning. So I said, okay, you know, what are successful people in this industry doing? And a lot like your mentors, I saw that, you know, you had to leverage your time. And I thought, okay, I need exposure. So how could I do that? So this is like 2002, 2003. So what I did was I found out the resources, I hired the right people, and I had a website designed. And so everyone around me is like, who the hell are you to have a website? Like, that's for big companies and this and that. And I said, no, this is where everything's going. So I created a website and I said, okay, now I've got to like just pattern myself. You know, success leaves clues, like you said. It's like, okay, so what do I need to do? So I just listened to the brightest minds and I started writing. I said, you know, I enjoy writing, so I need to publish. I need to make a resource that I can duplicate my time. And, or I should say, you know, instead of just continuing to sell my time, I create a product or a, something once, whether it's a video resource or ebook or whatever, and that will be, you know, automated and sell based on, you know, media coverage, everything, blah, blah, blah. So, you know, time goes by and Biggest Loser just hits the, you know, the market. It's just huge, you know, Jillian Michaels, Bob Harper. And, you know, it's like one of the highest rated shows with like the lowest budget. And I'm like, I want to do that. Why can't I? So, you know, I'm telling other colleagues in the gym, you know, I want to do something like that. Like, you're crazy. That's right. Just for, you know, the inner circle, the Illuminati picks the trainers or whatever, right. Other psycho, you know, whatever. So I'm like, oh, there's got to be a way to do this. So finally, little time goes by. And in the meantime, this is a good lesson for anyone that's discouraged and not really seeing the results of their efforts. I studied how to speak. I paid for resources of like, how do you public speak? You know, how do you, you know, market yourself? All these things. And I was setting myself up for it. So I might have 3 clients really early in the morning, 5-6 hours in the middle of the afternoon. So I might work out for 1 hour of that. And the rest of the time I'm sitting at Panera or a Starbucks and I'm writing and I'm reading and I'm researching. I'm asking questions of the brighter minds in the industry. And so I'm putting together, you know, I'm building myself up. I'm like packing dynamite. Like when I'm ready to like just set it off, I'm going to be ready for it. So finally, there was a rumor back in, I want to say 2009, 2010, that Jillian Michaels may not renew with NBC. So they were having like a Biggest Loser audition in Macomb County, like an Art Van or whatnot, a big outlet. Now this is like February in Michigan. So it's like 10 below, there's like 6 to 8 inches of snow. And I have, this is a Saturday morning too. And as you know, from training, that's a very busy time.
Right.
Gym. So you're going to be, you know, you're going to have a pretty full morning if you want it. So I had to cancel like 9 clients. So I'm like, ah, crap. You know, but you know what? I knew what I wanted to do. So at the same time, here I am early on in a marriage. My son is 1 year old. So, and you don't have kids yet, right, Tony?
No, nope.
Or if you plan to, but either way, what happens is when you have children, Gerber and all these other companies find out and they just start mass mailing you samples of stuff. So this is my Gary Vaynerchuk lesson. Okay. And that, you know, anybody that says they're willing to do anything to succeed, well, this is real shit. Okay. So I took this diaper and I said, you know what? I'm going to be standing outside for up to 4 hours waiting on NBC to like call people in. And they said, there's nowhere to go to the bathroom. There's nothing out there. So I'm going to bundle up and I'm going to put one of these baby diapers on me. And if I have to take care of business, I'll do it right there in a diaper, waiting in line to get into audition.
Wow.
That's exactly what I did. Little TMI, but hey, it's real.
No, so, dude, that is. Wow. So they made you guys stand outside and wait to go in?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Like cattle. We're just sitting out there. Actually, yeah, frozen cattle. So finally I got in, did my deal, you know, felt that the audition went well. I got a call back. They decided to go with a couple of like local California residents. So, but they said, you know, we really liked your audition. We have your audition tape, this and that. So, you know, we'll see where this goes. So I just thought, you know what? I put it out there and it's not a no, it's a not now to me. It's the way I process it. 'Cause I'm not going to stop. So a couple months later, I see, and I'm a big fan of Biggest Loser at the time. So I'm watching the show and everything. And all of a sudden, there was a guy, a kid from South Lyon, who had got to the Final Four, Mike Morelli, and his dad, Ron. And they walked into sports club where the gym I was at, and they're looking around. I'm like, oh my. And then, so, you know, watching a show, you get a little starstruck. Like if they stick an orange on TV every day and you saw that orange sitting somewhere, you'd be like, oh, that's the orange from TV.
Right. Just,
that's sometimes how we are. So they, all of a sudden they come up to me, they go, you're Jimmy, right? And I'm like, oh my God, there must be a secret camera. Biggest Loser is going to, you know, hire me. I said, yeah, yeah. They said, oh, one of our friends in the gym recommended you, and you know, NBC would like to check you out to maybe take us to the Final Four. And I'm like, oh my God, this is perfect. So basically NBC sent some reps out and we did a little, you know, interview and make sure that, you know, I was going to help them and work with their doctors. And of course, Jillian Michaels to help them get to the Final Four in, you know, good fashion. So basically what happened was I established a really good relationship with the production company, and Mike Morelli lost that season by, I think it was a quarter of a pound or half a pound.
Wow.
So yeah, it was close. But so anyways, so because of that relationship, they started saying, okay, well, this guy's good at what he does. And, you know, they put me on this short list of, you know, reality people that they would use for potential, you know, shows. So they came back with two options of a couple of months later. They said, you know, we have two shows that, you know, you might be interested in. One was a pilot show for Jillian Michaels. It was a summertime show. You were probably 9 or 10 then, I think. Mm-hmm. But so it was basically it was an off air position. And so what it was Jillian in the show would go into, you know, a family's home, similar to the I Used to Be Fat model. And, you know, show the family what to do, move in some treadmills and this and that, tell them what to eat. And the idea is that she comes back in 6 weeks and, you know, all of a sudden they've achieved the results. So they needed trainers that would be on site and live with the family to do the dirty work. And then when it airs, you know, you're just basically a ghost.
Sure.
Yeah, that was a nice, that was a nice payday. The other one was an on-air show, which was the MTV show I Used to Be Fat. And, you know, for significantly less money, but you had a lot of airtime. And that show, the MTV stuff, was going to air in syndication internationally. So I went with the less money and more exposure with the MTV. And that's how it happened.
Oh, man, there's so much in there that I want to deep dive into. First off, it's crazy because when you watch those shows, you, like you said, you think Jillian Michaels is there doing all that stuff. But it's really, you know, it's real trainers in there coaching with all them. And dude, just so much in there about like what you had to do. Like you said, you know, Saturdays as a trainer, that's your busiest day, right? Because everyone exactly. wants to get a workout in Saturday morning before they go out and eat whatever the hell they want on the weekend. So yeah, you gave up all that, dude. You sat outside, you know, you did what you had to do and got on there. And like you said, I loved what you said there. It's not no forever. It's just no right now. Like, did you always have that philosophy in life?
What's weird is, I think, you know, I'll have full, disclosure because, your, fans can't see through audio, but I've been told I'm vertically challenged. So, I'm a shorter guy, but so being a shorter guy in 18, 19, and wanted to be a pro wrestler, people laughed at me and they said, oh, you can't do it. You know, you're too small. Hulk Hogan's like, you know, 9 feet, blah, 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 blah. And I just have, I don't know if it's an Italian temper. I don't know if it's just DNA or what, but I was just like, F you, I'm going to make it happen because people said I couldn't do it. I was going to do it anyways. So I've kind of always had that philosophy. I got cut from my high school freshman baseball team. And this is before PC era. The coach just came up and said, you're too fat, you're too short, and you're too slow. He goes, go on the golf team or something. So that pissed me off, and I started lifting weights. So that's kind of like a real quick intro to like how I got into the fitness side. But yeah, I've always had that, you know, mindset. And so when I know I want something, and it's like, it's an intuitive, I don't know if it's self-awareness or what it is, but I guess I just didn't have a fear of failure because I always had like studied guys like Tony Robbins, you know, and again, the Vaynerchuks and the Jim Rohns and these guys who were real positive. And I didn't grow up in a family like that. And I don't like, you know, poo-poo on them for that. I just say, you know what, I learned from their mistakes and I can make my life in this next generation better. And that's what I chose to do. And I just didn't take no for an answer. I just knew that, you know, if the door isn't opening, I'm going to check the window, yeah. You know, or there's a back door. I'm going to go check that. And sometimes, you know, there's course correction. So it's not as simple as just, you know, keep pushing and knocking your head into a wall, but sometimes, you know, reevaluate yourself, self-assess. Do you have the skills? Do you have, you know, all the tools you need that are going to help you be successful and be realistic with yourself and don't, you know, fool yourself. So yeah, believe in yourself, but be realistic. And so that's pretty much been, you know, my MO, and it always paid off. And in some cases, you know, I think I can look back and say, yeah, you know, if I tweak this or that. But where I never went wrong, Tony, was where I just trusted my gut over everything. So I could be talking to a very successful person and something about what they recommended or, you know, advice just didn't click with me. So I trusted my gut or I asked more questions. And sometimes it led to me, you know, having a revelation going, oh, yeah, I didn't see it that way. And a lot of times I think that's our problem is, you know, we're stuck in whatever, for whatever reason, we have a mindset right. And, you know, we have a preconceived idea and that stuff needs to be shared. I'm sure that's what happened with you in hiring Bedros. So, you know,
yeah.
It's, you know, and that was such an inspiring story for me too, is where, you know, you had taken, you know, your last savings and said, okay, I'm, you know, going to go just, you know, try this out. And I'm sure there's been probably 10,000 trainers that were right on the verge of that and probably scaled back and said, no, I'm not going to do it, but you did it.
Absolutely, man. And it's like what you said, it goes back to, and this is something that Bedros and B has always mentioned to me. It's like underdog mentality, man. Nothing will ever, you can't ever replicate that. And it's obvious you have had that in your own life. Like just the underdog mentality, like you said, people told you you weren't tall enough to be a pro wrestler for whatever reason, you got cut from your baseball team. It's like, but that's what sets you up. Like the underdog's going to do, it's like Rocky, you're going to do whatever it takes to win. And you just don't quit. You don't stop. And that's very eminent there. And it's so funny that you say that because, you know, I got in on, cause you know, a lot of times people in the fitness industry will say, man, how did you work with Bedros Koulian? How did you become a client? It's like, dude, he threw out a program, like a mentorship program for 12 months. And it was like, for him, it was expensive, but for him, it was like, you know, a low barrier offer. So it was by no means what he was charging in other areas of, you know, business. So
right
away, I jumped on it and he told me literally like the month after it doubled in price. So like if yeah. If I did not jump at that moment, which was right after I bought my house, I knew I was going to get engaged. I knew I was going to quit my job. Like I literally was telling my wife this other day, I don't think I would have got into it. And I don't even want to like fathom where my life would be right now. So you're absolutely right. It's like, trust your gut. And that's something that B always says too, is like, you just got to trust your gut, know your instincts. And like, dude, when it's time to jump, you got to jump. Because if you wait and analyze and think, it's too late. The price doubles, the opportunity's gone, you know, whatever. So absolutely. No,
I'm not getting any affiliate check or anything from Bedros, but it's interesting because you know, my first impression years and years ago when I saw his marketing material and his videos and stuff like that, I was like, this guy is such a slickster. Like, I'm not going to believe this bullshit.
Right.
And then I watch and I sit and I know personally people that have done his programs and have had massive success. And I just look at a track record, you know, and it's an interesting thing because I think a lot of people have that hesitation. So if, you know, my word or your word carries any weight, the guy's the real deal. And if he wants to mail a check, you can just forward it to me.
Right. There you go. And it's so funny you said that too, because it ties into what you were mentioning earlier about like, we create our own reality with our thoughts, right? So it's mm-hmm. like, oh, okay, well, this guy's a slickster, or you know, this opportunity is not going to work out. It's like we're kind of always feeding ourselves this own reality, and sometimes you have to like pull it back a little bit, take a step back, really analyze everything, and then make an informed decision.
And you know what? And the biggest thing is, and I think you said it in one of your podcasts, was you bet on yourself. And that's so powerful. And so it's like, if you're hesitating, you know, if you're a young trainer or somebody who's, you know, on the fence about whether you, you know, should leave your job to pursue something in fitness or wellness or nutrition, whether it's an RN, et cetera, and you've covered that well in your previous podcast, it's like, do you believe in yourself? If you do, then you should be all in. And that's so powerful. When you said that, that just gave me chills because it just brought me back. And it's absolutely 100% right.
Absolutely, man. I always say, like, if you're going to bet, don't go bet on Bitcoin. Go bet on yourself, you know? And I'm not knocking investments, but so you're in this show and you start off with the season and you have this young teen. I don't know if you had worked with, you know, teens before. I'll say openly, like, I was never good with younger kids. You know, I always felt like I couldn't relate. It was a whole realm of challenges. So what was that experience like, man? Like, what was it like on camera versus off the camera?
Oh man. Well, you know what? It's good that we're doing this interview now after like the non-disclosure clause has expired.
Oh, nice.
I wouldn't have been able to say anything for a long time, but this is nothing that's, I think, new as far as reality TV people. But what happened was, you know, quick brief background was I had worked with every population you can imagine. And I think, again, it's like knowing yourself, like you knew who your clients were and who they weren't. I'm the rare exception that just says, you know what? I like the person who doesn't want to be here. I like the person who doesn't fit like the gym, you know, stereotype, because I don't know. I feel like I have a gift to nurture those people and I love fitness and I can find a way to help them fall in love with fitness. And I think that I know that's not the norm. And for me, for whatever reason, that's just, you know, the thing, the gift that I have. So I think that the casting producers probably saw that in, you know, the video and the tryouts and everything that I did. And they thought, you know, these, you know, kids are basically, you know, morbidly obese teenagers that are, you know, again, a little background about the show, that had just graduated high school. They weren't happy with their high school years because they were taunted or bullied or whatever. And so they decided they want to make a change over the summer before they go to college and they can have a new start and be a new person or whatnot. And I, you know, jumped into that and just, you know, headlong, just like, this is perfect for me because these are the people that I've, you know, trained, you know, over the last, you know, 7-8 years at the time. So it's interesting the way MTV set this up was they said, okay, we're going to give you a little background sheet on the kid, on the family, but we're not giving you any more details to where you can find them. And social media was still not really what it is today, sure. But there was no way I was going to find out who they were. So they're basically like, you show up in Flint at this address at 10 a.m. So I showed up there at 10 a.m. Now, the funny thing is that wasn't the address of the kid. That was an address of something in their sub that was maybe 2 blocks away. So then, you know, an associate producer came and met me, said, okay, mic'd me up, said, okay, we're going to pull up to the house. You're just going to go up there and you're a trainer and you go and you talk to the family. You have very little, you know, background on them, but that's what you're going to go on. And let's see what you got.
Wow.
And that was it. And I went, oh my God, what the hell did I get myself into? So I pull up, boom, they stop me at my car and they just start doing like a little meet and greet thing with me on camera. There's like 2 cameras on me, a boom mic, somebody holding something to reflect the sun in my face. The neighbors are watching and I'm like, what the, okay, this is, I don't know. But that's the way I've always approached everything I've done is I just jump in. Like, you know, here's an opportunity. Do you want it? Are you qualified? I'm like, yeah, I'm qualified. Jump in. I learn on the job. And that's, you know, that's been my path. So going to the house and you have these, you know, this poor family that's just sitting there, you know, not used to the cameras, not used to being mic'd up, not used to anything. Neither was I. I mean, my pro wrestling thing, you know, was a little different, but I, you know, if I can wrestle in a Speedo in front of 20,000 people, how much easier is it,
right?
You know, with a camera and just, you know, a family with, you know, weight problems, like this is nothing, but it was a little harder than that. So, you know, go in and, you know, I think the first maybe 2 weeks or so, Tony, you know, they're starstruck. Like they're like, not by me, but by, you know, the experience. You know, they're going to be rich. They're going to be reality TV stars, this and that. And they're just, you know, doing everything you say and everything's great. And then what happens is familiarity breeds contentment. And a couple weeks later, you know, you start to see people just kind of revert to their old selves. They forget they're always mic'd. They forget there's cameras all over their house. They forget that, you know, every time we're in the gym, there's three or four camera angles on them and they're catching every little thing that's going on. And so you start, that's where the conflict starts, which is what the show wants. They want to see, you know, true human passion, emotion, et cetera. And it's, you never know what's going to air. Like, let's say you have 500 hours of footage. You're going to see 40, 42 minutes of it. And it's going to be edited the way that the TV show wants to portray the story. Mm. So I'll say from my point of view, they did not portray me inaccurately at all. Because I was trying to be consistently who I was. And I think that for the most part, the families were portrayed in mostly an accurate setting, but it was a mind screw, I think, for, you know, these poor kids. They're 17, 18 years old. I can't imagine being thrown into that. You know, at the time I'm like 30 something and I'm like, you know, so I can handle, I've been through this stuff with, you know, wrestling and everything, but they hadn't been. So, you know, when we're sitting there off camera in a gym, I'm basically being, you know, amateur psychologist and helping them deal with it, you know, and them wanting to just like throw it away and quit. And I say, well, if you quit, the show doesn't air, ass. And I want to be on TV, so you're not quitting. I'll kill you. But, you know, basically just nurture them and help them with the struggles of, you know, whether their family's on board. You know, they might be on board on camera, and then off camera, they might just be, you know, cursing the show, et cetera.
Wow.
Yeah. It's interesting. And, you know, I think it is what it is with TV, but, you know, I never like compromise my concepts or anything or any the things I believed. One of the interesting things, I love that I have this platform to throw, you know, some people under the bus right now, but there was the guy who was the founder of Biggest Loser. And he basically, and you're familiar with the show, right?
Biggest Loser? Yep.
Yeah. Okay. So do you recall that in a lot of the seasons at the end of the show, you had all of the final four or whatever it came down to do a marathon?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. So now they're still overweight. Okay. And they're still not at goal. So they might still be 50, 60 or 70 pounds overweight. And now they're going to go run a marathon. It's a challenge. So now they've already got like their knees, their ankles, their hips are wrecked from training in extreme environments. And now they're going to run a marathon. And what happened was about midway through the taping of the MTV shows is the show owner or creator decided that nobody was losing weight as fast as he wanted. So he called in, you know, a conference call. And he's like, you know, we're stopping all the weights. You guys are going to stop all weightlifting, all interval training. And you're basically going to put them on low calorie, you know, low carb, basically like greens and very little protein. And we're going to just like, you know, catabolize them and get weight off. And I heard that and I was pissed. Because I'm like, you know, if you're thinking long-term, you want to build up their, you know, their resting metabolic rate. You don't want to crush it just right to get a, you know, a result at the end of the show. And I knew this going in that this was probably going to be the struggle. This was going to be, you know, the fork in the road. And I was ticked off. So everybody complied and I complied at the time because I was just trying to be a good company guy and everything. But then towards it. So now what happened was there were several trainers that were doing various shows at the same time. I don't know if you recall that, but every week it was a different trainer.
Yep. Yep.
So everyone's like, you know, on group text, whatever. Oh, I don't think this is great. I don't think it's a good idea, this and that, but everyone kind of did it, you know, and, you know, and all in hindsight, everyone I think would have changed direction. But so I basically requested a personal call with the show owner. So finally, I was able to get him on the phone. I said, you know, I said, I know what your belief is. And by the way, the show owner for the I Used to Be Fat was also the same casting or the same production company as Biggest Loser. Okay. So it's the same guy. And I said, you know, I said, why is it that you want everyone doing a marathon? Or in our case, you want it all strength training and everything cut down or eliminated and then just have them walk all day or have them jog all day. And I said, you know, as a trainer, you know, I don't know why you don't defer to us. I don't know what your background is, but I think you're wrong. And he's like, well, look, when I lost weight, that's what I did. I said, you fucking kidding me? This guy is worth like $400 or $500 million. And that's his rationale. I said, well, with no due respect, you're wrong.
Right.
And I said, you know, I'm going to finish out my contract and, you know, do what you say, but I can't live with myself if I don't tell you that you're dead wrong on this. He's wow. like, well, whatever. And he hung up on me. So I don't care. That's the truth though. And it was kind of sad. And I think you understand that. It's like, you know, as trainers, you know, we already have our clients that, you know, will challenge us on stuff because they read an article and, you know, they saw this or saw that.
Right.
And it's like, well, the science doesn't support that, you know, and maybe a long-term approach or a slower approach, or here's, you know, what's going to happen, you know, if you decide to, you know, slow it down, you know, you can add more carbs, you can add, you know, regular food in and, you know, but you have to be consistent, dedicated, whatever, add compound movements, and it's going to produce the result and it's going to stay with you. That was the experience, and wow. it didn't really sour me on TV. I was happy to have the experience. I think I stayed positive no matter what. I was just glad that I could voice my opinion and, that it would at least be heard, but, maybe not completely, you know, not, what is that? Remember, have you ever seen White Man Can't Jump?
No, I haven't.
Yeah. There was a scene where, Wesley Snipes was saying to his partner, you hear me, but you're not listening. And that's what was, I think, happening is you heard me, but you weren't really listening to me. So, right. You know, but hey, he's worth $500 million. I'm not. So,
right. You know, right. So. And it worked for him. So it must work for everyone else. And that must be the universal way of doing it, right?
Right.
That's crazy, man. Dude, that's an awesome story. And dude, I of course my memory is a little vivid on it, but I mean, I remember your episodes and I remember there was like one to where you were kind of like consoling the girl and just helping her feel better when she maybe wanted to give up. So, I mean, I think it's like you said, like you were, you know, the trainers were portrayed awesome. There was another trainer as well who's kind of like, he rode a motorcycle and he had a guy, like a young male as a client. Yeah. Yeah.
Joey Galore.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Joey is awesome. When the show started airing, I guess the male bravado and I'm like, ah, shit, that's the one guy that's like knocking it out of the park. Like he had the look, he had the motivation, he had the energy. And I was like, damn, he did it right. It's interesting because I think he got out of the training game, at least to some extent, and he's more devout to like religion and things like that now. Okay. But yeah, he was amazing. He was amazing. And yeah, the thing with the girls is that was, you know, what you saw on camera, at least, you know, with my shows was a very authentic interaction. You know, with these kids that are trying to really figure it out and they don't have it all together and it's like, you know, they're in over their head and it's like very overwhelming for them. So I felt like, as you know, you're a, you know, trainer, a psychologist, a motivator, right. You know, a whip cracker at times. And, you know, it was, it played out on TV a certain way. And I think at least for me, that was a very accurate portrayal.
Well, yeah, dude, and hats off to you, man, because like you said, I could totally see that happening to where it's like, they don't care about the science. They don't care about long-term sustainability. They don't care about that. They care about like right here, right now, how can we get more weight off of them? So dude, hats off to you. And it's easy for anyone who was not in that situation to be like, well, I would have done the same thing. I would have stood up for myself. But dude, I mean, from the limited like TV exposure I have had with local news and stuff, once you're there, you're like, holy shit. Like I'm at a certain point. And of course, TV back, you know, when these episodes were airing is way more impactful than TV nowadays with YouTube and social media and all that taking over. But it's like, man, that must have been hard. And not only that, but it's like you said, as trainers, like dude, like, we have to do things sometimes. Like, we have to motivate someone who doesn't want to be there, who doesn't want to work out. And it's like, you push too hard, you're an asshole. If you're too soft, well, they're not going to get the results. So, like, not only being able to deliver that, but doing it on camera, man, that must have made it so much more challenging. So hats off to you, man. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'll give you one more quick story. These are all, like, this is exclusive content right now, Tony. You may edit all of it, but I don't know.
I love it.
But there was our very first day of training or filming with one of the girls was hour 14, and we're at the gym, and, you know, she's exhausted emotionally, and we're pushing. And the producer was like, you know, just have her do another set of those medicine ball slams, you know, because we didn't get the right lighting and everything. I'm like, all right. So I go to her and I'm like, you know, let's do these one more time. She goes, I'm not doing it anymore. I'm sick of this BS. I'm quitting the show. Da, 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 da. And I was like, and so the producer looked at me. She goes, if she doesn't do those slams, this show doesn't air and we're pulling out. And I'm exhausted as well, because I actually trained like four people that morning and then drove to Flint. So I grabbed the medicine ball. I'm thinking, this is what reality TV wants. And I'm like, God damn it. Do the fucking slams. And I took the ball and I threw it through the window of the gym. And I went, whoa, I've never done anything like that. And the show just like stopped. Like, they just looked. And I thought, wow, this is going to be probably a lead in for their show. And they told me several weeks later that they weren't going to air the clip. And I said, why? I said, I didn't tell you not to. I was just wondering why you wouldn't. They said, because it's not true to your personality. That's not you. Like, we pushed too far and you retaliated. You just like snapped. Wow. And I was like, maybe that's good. But yeah, so it's an interesting environment. And I know what you're talking about, because I've seen your clips with like Fox and everything. And it's a more controlled environment. It's very short. Like, you have so much time to get out a lot of info.
Right.
And, you know, but you do a really good job of that.
Oh, thank you, man. But yeah, dude, that must be intense. I honestly, like I said, it's easy for someone who's not in that situation to be like, oh, I would have handled it this way. But dude, when those lights hit you and when you're on and in those moments, man, like, that's the thing. Because let's be honest, we've all had moments where, as trainers, like, we've had to get in our client's face. And I don't mean that like physically, but like, we've had to call them out on their shit, right? Like, right, in a good way of, because that's our job. It's, everyone else in their life is letting them down. They're letting themselves down. It's our job as good coaches. Speaking of Craig Ballantyne, he always says the expression, like, good coaches do not let clients back out on their goals. That's what a good coach, they don't need an expensive friend to tell them everything's going to be okay. They need, you know, a coach there to push them. So dude, that must have been very, very intense, man. But obviously that, it seems like that has been an awesome experience for you. And it's really, that's the cool thing, is they portrayed you the way that you really are, which is a caring person as a coach. You know, you wouldn't have been in the industry and doing the things that you've done if you didn't have that, you know, quality.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that. And I think it's really, you know, it comes down to a sprint versus a marathon. It's definitely a marathon. And, you know, it's all in hindsight. You know, you couldn't have told me then, because I was like, you know, there was a sense of urgency and I had to do it all yesterday. But I think sometimes, you know, when you put that pressure on you, or like, you know, you and Craig were talking about time management and getting rid of time wasters, you know, that's what really, you know, propelled and got a lot of things done. And, you know, so that's reality. At some point, I think, you know, your career changes, your career goals, you know, your personal goals, things that, you know, with family and keeping more of a holistic approach, it all changes. But yeah, it's experience that, you know, had its, you know, it's all in hindsight where you go, yeah, you know, I might've done this a little different or that, but the way it played out was fine. And it's what it is. And there's no, you know, regrets for the most part.
Love that, man. So kind of tying it all together. So if you had someone who, I guess, was asking you for, like, what's the one piece of advice for someone who maybe wants to get healthy or make a change, or, you know, maybe someone who wants to become a trainer or a coach and have a successful career? I think you were alluding to it when you said it's a marathon, not a sprint, but anything else you'd like to add or expand upon with that statement?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I have a few like principles that I live by, and I won't expand on them, but I think they're self-explanatory. Is the first thing, I think if you're going to be a trainer or you're going to get serious about fitness, is first, you know, face the man in the mirror, you know, look at yourself. And are you the example that you want people to follow? The other thing is believe what you say, you know, don't be a hypocrite. You know, if you are trying to tell a client to eat mostly whole and processed food, are you doing that yourself? You know, so do what you say, you know, do the things that you want them to do. Like you're trying to tell them to do pushups and you go to demonstrate and you can't do it, you know, or whatever. Right. It's like, you've got to be the example to them. And the other thing is make it about them. You know, I think a lot of times, you know, the business can attract a narcissistic person that, you know, has achieved success, like whether it's a bodybuilding show or whatnot. And, you know, they're basically, you know, seeing like, hey, you know, follow me, look at me. And it's like, yeah, to some extent, that's why they came to you, because on some level you exude fitness, or you are an example of the dream that they want or the goal they want. So, but you still have to make it about them because it's their journey and they're not where you are. You know, the other thing is that, I'm sure you know this, is listen before you speak. So hear them. You know, clients will tell you everything if you just stop and listen to them. They'll tell you their pain. They'll tell you their insecurities when they trust that you're actually listening to them. You know, the other thing is, like, you know, you have to, in some level, believe your own hype. So if you come at it with lack of self-confidence, it's going to easily bleed through. And they're going to say, this guy's a shyster, or he's a poser. So you have to really believe in yourself and believe your success. The other thing is, admit that you don't know everything. Like, I don't know if you ever had clients that ask a question and there's like some new research study. And, you know, I know you keep up on, you know, research and everything, but sometimes, you know, something slips. There's so much coming out all the time. I was given this, you know, little tidbit early on in my career was, you know, hey, if you don't know something, you be honest with the client and say, hey, you know, I'm not really sure about that. I'm going to look that up. I'm going to find out, and I'm going to give you the correct information. Because if they, for one time they sense that you're giving them a line of BS, it's over. The trust is gone, you know?
100%. Absolutely.
Don't you think?
Dude, I say, I don't know multiple times per week. Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, and it goes to, like you said, about just like knowing what you do and knowing and being the best at that. But I've always said this, I've always believed this, that a true expert is not afraid to say, I don't know. I don't know that. And as to where like a false expert is going to make up some shit and, you know, try to, like you said, it's very easy to become narcissistic in the field. If you look a certain way or won some shows or some $5 trophies, whatever, you know, But dude, what you just gave there, if anyone is listening to this and wants to be a coach or wants to be a dietitian or a professional, like this whole talk has been extremely valuable, but those 3 minutes, if you just listen to that and apply those things, you'll achieve whatever you want. That was absolutely, absolutely impactful and insightful. I wish I knew those things when I first started as a personal trainer, because you get caught up on like, what's the best new revolutionary exercise and what's the best this and that. And it's like, man, just listen to people, take care of people, put them first. Like you said, make it all about them. Nothing drives me crazier than when I see a trainer out there on the floor and they're just, I mean, it's always good to have a relationship and talk about yourself, about your personal life, but like, oh yeah, I got in a fight with my girlfriend this weekend and blah, blah, blah. Oh, by the way, do this exercise. It's like, dude, no, it's not about you, man. It's about them.
And it's, don't you think it's social cues? Like, you know, there's a time to share that, and you can tell when someone's engaged, and if they're not, you back off. And you turn the conversation back to them, because it is, sometimes it's their only hour in their whole day where they can be selfish. Right. And I always feel like I'm going to do everything I can to make them feel like a rock star. But the difference is, there's the balance there, is you're not enabling them or being a yes man and letting them do awful form, or let them believe that doing leg extensions, you know, all day is going to, you know, get their glutes tight. You know, or whatever, you give them the truth, right. You know, and, you know, you need to do the compound movements, you need to do this, you need to do that. And so it's not being a yes man, but it's being supportive, and it's meeting the client where they're at in their journey. And you take them to the next level. You handhold and you take them there.
I love that. Oh, I love that so much, man. My former boss used to say that was their 1 hour. And that for most people, or some people, that's the best hour of their day. So absolutely, man. I love that. So as we're wrapping up here and tying it all together, I have one more question. What books, if any, have had and I ask everyone this, have had a profound impact on your life? And that could be business, you know, personal development, fitness, nutrition, any resources or any tools like that.
Oh gosh. Okay. Well, I think I already shared the one about Tony Robbins, and he changed my mindset as far as coming from kind of a low blue collar family who always felt like, you know, the world handed them, you know, a bag of shit. Sure. And I just thought, wow, this is, you know, this is life. And this is sad to say, but after I graduated, Tony, it was a year after I graduated that I actually read the first full book in my life. So I was 19 years old, never read a whole book. I picked up Unlimited Power by Tony Robbins in the bookstore, and that book changed my life. I probably read it 5 times. That was one. That changed my mindset. The other one was, I don't know if you're familiar with Alan Cosgrove.
I am. Yep.
Yeah. And so what I did was I invested, and I know you've invested a lot more than I have, and I applaud you for that because it shows you got a set on you, and you bet on yourself more than I did. So I'm going to give you props. So that's the truth. And I'm completely sincere with that. But I invested a lot with Alan Cosgrove and learning his fat loss techniques. And that was very revolutionary in like helping me with helping clients lose fat. Now over time, cause that was like 2009, 2010, you know, the industry evolves and changes and whatnot, but it's the principles and the way that he approached fitness business that really it catapulted my business to another level. And I would say the last one that was really something that was results producing and put me and, you know, launched me into another stratosphere, was definitely Bedros was inspirational. But there was a guy that talked about like fitness boot camps and basically renting out space, and or taking advantage of like down real estate in gyms and putting together, you know, types of classes that were going to allow a lot of people. And this is during the economic downturn in 08, 09, when, you know, we thought all the auto industries were going to go under. And, you know, there was very few people then, because up to that point, people were paying, they didn't even blink at a personal training session one-on-one for an hour. They would buy 2, 3, 4 a week and didn't even blink. And all of a sudden people started to scale back a little bit because they got scared. And I thought, okay, I need to figure out, you know, how to leverage my time. And so it's interesting how all of a sudden, you know, you have to change your business model and you can't just stick to what you know because the economic climate will change. So anything that you share in the future or Bedros shares or Cosgrove shares, it's subject to the economy and to culture because it always changes. And, absolutely, you know, what did Wayne Gretzky say? You know, he wasn't the best at getting to the puck. He was the best at anticipating where the puck was going.
Oh, love that. Absolutely. Yeah. Dude, especially health and fitness, man. Like what we're doing today is not what we will be doing 10 years from now, you know? So you always have to change. You always have to, you know, be adaptable. And that's for anything, business, you know, whatever. So, dude, love that. So if people want to connect with you, man, where can they get a hold of you or where can they reach you at?
It's real simple. It's just my name, Jimmy Varner, J-I-M-I, like Jimi Hendrix, who I was named after, surprisingly. Nice. Nice. Varner, and V as in Victor, A-R-N-E-R. And that's on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, or just jimmyvarner.com. And I had my site hacked recently. So what anybody finds right now is going to be a skeleton of what was there. But again, here's a good example of a fitness leader. I don't hate, I just appreciate, and it's going to be better than it was before.
Wow. Yeah. Damn, dude. That crazy people out there, but that's the only attitude you can take, man, is just, you know, whatever, for whatever reason, this is going to come back bigger and better. So, dude, thank you so much for your time today. This was great, man. I mean, I took away a lot from this, the lessons you talked about, the experiences you have had, man. absolutely phenomenal. As we wrap up here, man, anything else you'd like to add or say?
No, I just, you know what? I want to thank you, Tony. I just want to tell your listeners and anyone that's going to tune in later on that, you know, you're the real deal. You're a workhorse. And you know what? You're a very trusted resource for fitness information, and you're making the right connections in the industry and building a real empire. And I'm proud of you, and I'm proud that in a few years we can look back and I can brag that I knew you when.
Oh, dude, I appreciate that very much, man. Truly appreciate that, brother. So guys, thank you so much for listening. Jimmy, thank you, man, for being here. If you guys enjoyed this episode, feel free to you know, connect with Jimmy. I'll link to all of his social media in the description. Leave a review, leave a rating. As always, guys, thank you for listening. Thank you again, Jimmy, for taking the time today, brother. Truly appreciate it, man.
Thank you, Tony. I appreciate it.
All right, we'll talk soon.
All right, buddy.